Welcome to this week's edition of Elvis Express Radio. Stay tuned for 2 hours of Elvis, Elvis, Elvis with Grant Bench and Joe Crine.
Looking for trouble.
Starting this week's Elvis Express radio show with That's Alright Mama from the 10th of August 1970. Grant Bench here in Australia, and over there in New York is my buddy Joe Crine. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well, Grant. How you doing?
It's funny. It's been a pretty warm day here in Australia, a bit unseasonally warm. But what's the weather like over where you are?
Oh, it's chilly. It really is chilly. We just listened to That's Alright Mama. Isn't it weird how his voice changed?
It's incredible, actually, to play. Actually, we should do that one day, play the 1954 version and then have a couple through the years that he played it. And then, of course, he performed it in some of his last concerts as well.
That's right. Yeah, that would be cool to do.
Yeah, we must do that one day. But firstly, Joe, I just want to apologize to everybody for the little technical issues we had on last week's show, but hopefully everybody enjoyed what we put together. And tonight we've got lots to talk about, and including Mac Davis.
Yeah. It's too bad that we lost him.
I actually got to see him a few years ago, and we'll be talking a little bit about his career and how he was associated with Elvis. Now, of course, his most famous association with Elvis was that he wrote and performed a demo of In the Ghetto. So he was really instrumental in getting that song to Elvis with a fantastic demo, and was in the crowd in August 1969 when Elvis sang it live. Let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and talk about Mac Davis. You're listening to Elvis Express Radio.
There's a guy sitting in her booth that is one hell of a songwriter, ladies and gentlemen. He has written some beautiful stuff, and he wrote one of my biggest records. I'd like you to say hello to Mac Davis. He wrote In the Ghetto, ladies and gentlemen. Mac. Yeah. One of my biggest records, ladies and gentlemen, that's done very well for me recently.
As a snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. Now people, don't you understand, a child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. I take a look at you and me, are we too blind to see? Or do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Will the world turns, and a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns, so he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, he tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies, on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
I stumble from my bed with thunder crashing in my head, my pillow's still wet from last night's tear. And as I think of giving up, a voice inside my coffee cup kept crying out, ringing in my ears, "Don't cry, Daddy. Daddy, please don't cry, don't cry, Daddy, you still got me and little Tommy. Together we'll find a brand new mommy. Daddy, Daddy, please laugh again. Daddy, ride us on your back again. Oh, Daddy, please don't cry. Why are children always first to feel the pain and hurt the worst? It's true, but somehow it just don't seem right. 'Cause every time I cry, I know it hurts my little chillin' soul. I wonder, will it be the same tonight? Don't cry, Charlie. Charlie, please don't cry, don't cry. Daddy, you still got me and little mommy. Together we'll put you on a bomber. Daddy, Daddy, please laugh again. Daddy, ride on your back again. Oh, Daddy, please don't cry. Oh, Charlie, please don't. Yeah.
Thank you. If you happen to hear that record, the laughing is not included.
There's two songs Elvis recorded live in Vegas in 1970 and 1969, both written by Mac Davis, Don't Cry Daddy and In the Ghetto. Some big hits, and Mac Davis had a lot of hits of his own. And you're a big fan of Mac Davis, were you, Joe?
Oh, yeah. No, I love some of his music. He played, what did he do? Oh, Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me in 72. One Hell of a Woman in 74. Stop and Smell the Roses in 74. Rock and Roll, I Gave You the Best Years of My Life. And there's more. One of the big ones, It's Hard to Be Humble.
You know, funny enough, you should mention that, Joe. I actually bought that album today. I was in a vinyl store here in my hometown of Geelong. And as I'm walking out, after checking out the Elvis section, of course, there's Mac Davis's album, It's Hard to Be Humble. And I thought, well, I should pick that up, because I do remember that as a kid when that song came out.
Yeah, it was a cool song. You know, he did an interview with somebody, and he said that he says, you never hear that song on a greatest hits or somebody covering it. And he said, thank God they don't. So I don't think he really cared for the song.
Yeah, I know when I saw him at the showcase, which we're actually going to hear some shortly, he did actually perform a little bit of it for us and got a rousing reception. But first, we're going to hear a story about when Mac was invited to go to one of Elvis's movie nights. And I'm thinking this would have been in the mid-60s at some point. He was performing somewhere. And let's have a listen to Mac Davis now talking about being invited to the movies with Elvis.
Yeah, I was playing a concert in West Memphis, at a small college there, West Memphis, across the Arkansas line. Mm-hmm. And I get a phone call. My road manager says, you know, Elvis's guy called up and wants you to come see a movie with them after the show tonight. They rented the Memphian Theater. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, really, man? Because I'd heard, you know, all my life about these theater things, and he would rent the whole theater and free popcorn and beer. And, you know, just like, wow, and Elvis. I can't believe it. And it's Elvis. I'm going to sit with him. And I had met him, you know, I met him before that, but I'd never really, you know, got to go out and boogie with Elvis. I mean, this is cool. So I showed up there and got me some popcorn and a beer and walked in. I was a little late. The thing was just getting started. And I walked down the aisle, and I see Elvis sitting down there, just him and Linda Thompson,
yep,
his young girlfriend. And I just walked straight down to that row, and I just stepped over the guy at the end of the thing, said, excuse me, and I just walked down and plopped down next to Linda Thompson, and Elvis is on the other side, and he had this silver tray that was made especially to hook over the seat in front of him, and set out beautiful hand-carved
wow
silver tray. and he had his popcorn and his beer sitting on it. I thought, man, this is cool. And I sat there and watched the movie with him, and it was the first time I'd been able to really sit and talk to him, because the rest of the time you'd be around him and the Memphis Mafia was just surrounding him, you know, and it was really intimidating, because every word they'd hang on every word, and you'd be afraid you'd say the wrong thing or something.
Wow.
They really didn't want you to get that close to Elvis, I guess, and to be part of that inner circle. But I felt like part of the inner circle. And we laughed, and he was fun to be around, and we laughed at the movie. It was kind of a silly movie anyway, and we made fun of it. And it was just really comfortable. I was so happy to be there. I felt like such an important guy.
Yeah.
I got up just before the movie was over to go to the men's room, and I'm standing there, and a guy comes walking in, the kid that I'd stepped over at the end of the row, and he said, Mr. Davis, you're not supposed to sit on the same row as Elvis. And I said, excuse me? He said, you're not supposed to sit on the same row. Red West and Sonny West don't even sit. You notice they sit two rows back. And I said, did Elvis tell you to come in here and tell me that? And he said, no, sir. He said, that's just the rule. And I'm supposed to tell you that. And I didn't want to embarrass you. I said, you've embarrassed me. You have totally insulted me. And I got really, really incensed about the whole thing. It just irritated me. And when I walked back out of the place, well, the movie was over and Elvis was standing out there, and he says, what's the matter, man? He could tell I was mad. I said, I just want somebody to tell me how to get back to my hotel from here, because I don't know, and I had a rental car. And he said, well, what's the matter, man? And I can't imitate Elvis. I wish I could. What's the matter, man?
That's pretty good.
There you go. I said, I don't need to tell you. I just said, you know, you just don't understand what goes on around you. I don't think you have any idea what goes on around you when you're not looking. He said, what do you mean, man? I said, I was just told that I couldn't sit on the same row with you, that it made me feel like a fool. That's what he said. Oh, man, who told you that, man? I said, it don't matter who told me. Somebody told me. It just makes me feel bad. And he says, man, tell me who did it. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you who did it. He said, well, what can I do to make it better, man? I said, I don't know. Give me your home number. And he says, Charlie Hodge, give Mac my home number. And Charlie says, what? What number? What number? He says, my home number, the one I answer at the house. I don't know what it is. What is it? Charlie says, I can't do that. He said, give him my home number. So Charlie turns to Joe Esposito, who is the boss, and he said, Elvis wants me to give him the home number. And Joe says, well, then give it to him. So he writes it down on a matchbook cover and gave it to him. I said, I'll probably never call it, but at least I feel better about having come in here and made a fool of myself. And he said, well, I'm sorry, man. And I said, okay, whatever. I said, I'll probably never call it. And I never did. Never called him at home. And over the years, I went to his home a few times and was there and met up with him in the dressing room a few times and in his suite, the Elvis suite, which was fantastic. Over the top. Nothing like red flocked wallpaper and black toilet fixtures, man. Nothing like that. And
I have that in my house
sure
right now.
Yeah, everything was all the toilet, you know, the toilet bowl and the sink and all was black marble and the red and black flocked wallpaper.
Man.
So in that day, man, I thought it was so cool. It's pretty gauche, actually.
But, well,
but anyway, that was the deal. And I kept his phone number in my phone book for years after he passed away just to have it there.
Just
and look
to have
at
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mind and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Baby, close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! A little less conversation, a little more action.
All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark, a little less fight, a little more spark. Shut your mouth and open up your heart and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on. Don't procrastinate, don't articulate. Girl, it's getting late, you just sit and wait around. Ah! A little less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Shut your mouth and open up your heart. Now, baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Satisfy me, girl. Satisfy me, baby. Satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Satisfy me, girl. Satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Satisfy me, baby. Satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Well, there's the original version of A Little Less Conversation from the movie Live a Little, Love a Little that Mac Davis wrote with Billy Strange, who was working on the movie. And they say that was actually intended for Aretha Franklin, but Elvis performed it great in the movie, and then it became an even bigger sensation in 2002 when it was remixed. That's a fantastic song, though, A Little Less Conversation.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear it. And how about that story, Joe? What did you think of that?
No. That is so funny. I mean, you know, isn't it a little, it's sad that Elvis didn't know his own phone number, but is that because they kept stuff like that from him? I mean, I think people did too much for Elvis.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard many stories where people who he asked to see turned up to see him, and he was relying on others to let him in, but they were busy with their own lives and their own chasing tail, as you might say, and you know, the person down there would think that Elvis didn't want to see them, and he's sitting up in the air waiting for them, and that story's got a tinge of sadness about it, hasn't it, that Elvis did not know what was going on.
It does, but I tell you, I would love to go to Memphis again and see that silver tray they were talking about.
it's always great to hear these stories, and I'm glad that, you know, these were recorded so that we're able to, you know, keep these memories alive, and Mac certainly did that for Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to just quick to say that our prayers go out to Mac Davis's family and friends.
Yeah, because it was a pretty quick. I didn't realize until I saw the news that he'd even been ill. And all of the songs that he wrote for Elvis are really terrific songs and will always be remembered. And we're about to hear one of them that I think most people would associate with the 1968 TV special. Normally, of course, on Elvis Express Radio, we play Elvis Alone, and I fully support that, of course. But we'll make an exception here because of, I think, the importance of this song in the Elvis catalogue. In 2017, Joe, I was lucky enough to be in Memphis for the 40th anniversary, and Mac was one of the guests at a show writers conference. They had Mark James, Jerry Lieber, and they all got this great plaque. But Mac Davis sat down with his guitar and he was talking to, I think it's Andy Childs, about his experiences with the 1968 TV special and the song Memory. So let's have a listen to that now.
Let me explain, you know, a little bit about it before I embarrass myself. I had 24 hours to write this song. And it was another one of those deals, you know, we got a chance. You can come up with something. We're trying to find something to bookend a section of the show where we're going to go back into his past and sing all of his old hits, which most were my favorites, to be honest with you. That's All Right, Mama being one of them. But he says we want to start off and sing half the song in the beginning and half the song at the end, and where they're going to be, you know, we need something about looking back over the years and all that stuff. And if y'all remember the special, it was the section where he wore the black leather outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat out in Billy Strange's garage, and I could hardly stay awake. And I had gotten this thing started, but I just couldn't get it finished. And Billy showed up and he says, you know what I do when I'm trying to write a score or something and I've run out of time? He says, I take one of these little red pills. And I said, what kind of pill is that? He said, well, the truck drivers use them. They call them Big Reds. And he gave me one. It's the first and last time I ever took one. I could actually see the hands on the clock spinning like a helicopter blade. Seriously. Anyway, I did get the song done, and we cut it the next morning and offered it to Elvis. They decided to use it. I'm going to sing a, there's a verse in here that Elvis didn't record because it would be too long. So they just, because they decided they want an orchestration in there. So you'll hear some lyrics that you never heard before. Memories press between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Quiet thoughts come floating down and settle softly to the ground like golden autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories. Memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories, I cling to them and tremble till the dawn. Memories are all that I have left now that you've gone. Silent shadows rise and fall and paint your image on the wall to stay with me till I fall asleep. I dream of you and fill my heart with sweet memories. Sweet memories of holding hands in red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes in simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories, sadly fragrant flowers turning brown. Memories, soft and distant showers coming down. Coming down.
Thank you.
Two-bit town where nothing's real, treat me like a country clown in Nothingville.
I ain't gonna hang around while doors keep slamming in my face. People keep putting me in my place. It's a rat's race at a snail's pace. Nothingville. Nothingville.
There's a short little song that Elvis used in the 68 special, Nothingville, that Mac Davis wrote, and I quite like that as well. And we also heard, of course, Mac Davis himself singing his song, Memories, and we thought we'd feature that because of the extra lyrics.
Yeah, it was neat. Beautiful words, you know.
It's such a beautiful song, and with Mac Davis obviously having a big career, it was worth playing that today, so I'm sure all the fans would have enjoyed hearing that. And I can tell you there wasn't a dry eye in the audience that day, Joe. It was quite beautiful. I really enjoyed hearing him, and I'm lucky in hindsight that, you know, I got to be able to hear him perform and talk about Elvis.
Yeah, I love those little red pills.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just imagine the way they worked on that 68 special show. Now, we've got a couple of extra songs that Mac Davis wrote, two of which were in Elvis's movies. He wrote or co-wrote the title song to the movie Charo, and he also co-wrote a song for The Trouble with Girls called Clean Up Your Own Backyard. So we're going to hear that. But first, a song that Elvis sort of started working on in the 69 sessions, and it's called Poor Man's Gold. There's a part of it that's survived, and it was released on the FTD from Elvis at American Sound. So let's have a listen to Poor Man's Gold, written by Mac Davis.
Ready? Rich, can you get closer to that mic?
One, 2, 3, 4. It's the feeling that I get looking down at my brand new baby. Holding. Preacher preaching at me, acting like he wrote the golden rule, shaking his fist and speeching at me, shouting from his soapbox like a fool. Come Sunday morning, he's lying in bed with his eyes all red from the wine in his head, wishing he was dead when he ought to be heading for a Sunday school. Clean up your own backyard. Oh, don't you hand me none of your line. Clean up your own backyard. You tend to your business, I'll tend to mine. Drugstore cowboy criticizing, acting like he's better than you and me, standing on the sidewalk supervising, telling everybody how they ought to be. Come closing time most every night, he locks up tight and out go the lights, and he ducks out of sight and he cheats on his wife with his employee. But clean up your own backyard. Oh, don't you hand me none of your lies. Clean up your own backyard. You tend to your business, I'll tend to mine. Armchair quarterback's always moaning.
second-guessing people all day long. Pushing, pulling, and hanging on in. Always messing where they don't belong. When you get right down to the nitty-gritty, isn't it a pity that in this big city not one a little bitty man will admit he could have been a little bit wrong. Clean up your own backyard. Oh, don't you hand me none of your lies. Clean up your own backyard. You tend to your business, I'll tend to mine. Clean up your own backyard. You tend to your business, I'll tend to mine.
That hide the man within. You see behind the eyes of other men. You've lived and died and come to life again. And now you're standing alone at the crossroads of your mind. You've left your yesterdays behind. But which road leads you to tomorrow? Charlie. Back on yesterday, betrayed a man who swore he'd make you pay. For when you left, you took his pride away. You know he'll never let you break away so easily. You'll have to fight before you're free. But how much more time can you borrow? Charlie. Now in a single moment your past grows dim. One thought goes racing across your mind. You ride to meet the woman you stole from him. Oh no, Charo, don't go. Charo, don't go. There's something hanging in the wind. Your past is catching up and closing in. You've been halfway to hell and back again. And now you'd laugh in the devil's face with your last breath. You'd run a race with life and death. But will you live to see tomorrow?
This is Elvis Express Radio, brought to you in association with the Elvis Files.
The title to Elvis's movie Charo, of course, is written by Mac Davis, along with Clean Up Your Own Backyard and that little snatch of Poor Man's Gold. It's quite amazing that that survived, Joe.
It is. You know, you just wish that he kept on singing. I think he just kind of got bored, and he would just start singing. And I mean, didn't you want him to keep going?
I mean, when the first snatch came out, it was like 13 seconds, and then the version we played, they actually overdubbed that bit in the instrumental that they recorded, because back in 69, Elvis got laryngitis, so he was away from the studio for a few days, and they recorded a few backing tracks that they did go back to. But he obviously started the song, but never really finished it. Whether he didn't like the song, didn't feel it, who knows, but it's amazing these little snatches that come out. And I think I've heard the actual song done by Mac Davis, perhaps. I think maybe Lee might have played it one day, but anyway, it is what it is. That's what we've got.
Yeah, you know, I remember that, and I have a really bad memory because of problems that I have, but I remember that. I think it was just the words alone just grab you.
Yeah, because it was similar in line of Don't Cry Daddy in a way, I think, in about the singer about a young child. So I must look that up, actually. But anyway, that's a bit of what we've got of Elvis singing Mac Davis. And as you mentioned earlier, sympathy and thoughts to his family. And he'll certainly live on in the memory of Elvis fans and music fans generally.
Yes, he will.
But now it's time to get into our requests, Joe. And I think there's one there from a familiar name.
Philip Ticini from Bootle, Liverpool, England in the UK. Says, hi, Joe and Grant. I am really overjoyed that you both are continuing the show in honor of Lee and, of course, Elvis. They would be both very proud, as I know all Elvis's, Lee's and Lee's fans and ER fans, and, of course, Lee's family are. Could I please request If I Can Dream, which was Lee's favorite song? If that has already been requested, please could you play Burning Love, which is my second favorite song. Used to be my first favorite until Lee persuaded me over the air. Now, If I Can Dream is now my favorite. Thank you both so very much. Take care of yourself. TCB for Lee Dawson's Elvis Express Radio. Philip.
Well, you know, Joe, I just couldn't decide between playing If I Can Dream and Burning Love because they're both awesome songs. So why don't we hear them both, starting with If I Can Dream, of course, in honor of Lee. Thanks for your request, Philip.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dream? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. But as long as a man has the strength to dream, he can redeem his soul and fly. Deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle, yeah. And while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream, oh, please let my dream come true.
Through to my soul, yeah. Girl, 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 you
You're tuned to Elvis Express Radio with Grant and Joe today, and thanks to Philip for requesting those songs, Burning Love and If I Can Dream. Always a powerful song to hear, If I Can Dream, and it'll always make us think of Lee whenever I always used to think of him when I heard that song anyway, but now especially so. It's a brilliant song. Now, Joe, you and I were just talking off here about a particular subject that raised our blood pressure a little bit.
Yeah, it usually happens. You know, you talk in between and you bring something up and you say, we should bring that up on the show. But I'm pissed off about something.
What is it?
Mariah, I'll tell you. Mariah Carey in 2008 got a plaque from Billboard. And on this plaque, it says she had more number ones than Elvis. Because if you remember, they ripped Elvis off of his number ones, Billboard did. He had 17. They'd take him down to 7. So on the plaque, it says how beats Elvis. Well, it was just, a week or two ago, my son was out watching Oprah, and he was telling me about this. And, of course, Oprah had to go there and literally said again, oh, and you beat out Elvis Presley. I don't know why they keep beating that to death. It's like, what is that?
It's like there's a vendetta against the success that Elvis Presley had. I mean, what he had was something so extraordinary that nobody was able to beat it. So the only way to beat it is to change the rules. And now you've got
exactly.
And now you've got downloads. I mean, if you look at things like album sales, he is clearly up there. But of course, that doesn't count for anything. They use digital downloads and all these sort of things. And most of the Elvis fans, like me, like to buy the albums. So they changed the rules to make these people today compared to Elvis a little bit, and the fact remains that they can't.
That's right. That's they had to change the rules. I mean, if they kept his number ones, they would be equal right now, 17.
Hmm.
Or it is 17, unless my mind is going crazy again. But yeah, I agree with you. It was just because they didn't have the talent. Mariah Carey is very talented, but a lot of the new singers just didn't have the talent that Elvis had.
Well, Elvis has got something unique, exactly right. I mean, whenever you hear, they're breaking this particular record from Elvis, well, the reason they're breaking it is because you can't compare any today's figures. I mean, you can get a number one record with 20,000 sales. Elvis was selling a million albums and not even getting in the top 10 sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Billboard because of that. And just as much as I hate the Grammys, I hate the Grammys too.
I think
because I think there should have been more than just, what is it, 3 Grammys, and for the religious albums.
I mean, you can't tell me songs like you know, It's Now or Never, A Lonesome Tonight, Suspicious Minds. How were they not Grammy Award winning songs?
Exactly.
It was a vendetta. Exactly. It was a vendetta against Elvis Presley, brought on possibly by his manager.
Yeah, well, see, the Grammys is all political. I swear to God, they buy their awards. I know it sounds strange, but even my son, who's really into the Grammys and likes to read Billboard, I think a lot of them buy their awards.
It's with a lot of things, and it's really disappointing. And they always have to get that needle in about Elvis Presley, because the general public are going to hear that, and they know you're an Elvis fan, so they rib you about it. And you're like, exactly. No, have a look in my book here. It says he's got 17 number ones. But Billboard changed the rules so that they took those away. Is that Elvis's right. fault? No, it's not.
Well, you know, when people hear that, they took them away. They think, okay, well, that wasn't a number one hit. No. They just say it's still a number one hit, but we don't count it because we started this at this date.
Yeah.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the charts weren't kept properly anyway. I mean, I know out here in Australia, I've been looking through some books and things, and it wasn't until 1959 that Elvis got his first number one out here. And it just right. when you look at it, you're like, how did that happen? How did that happen? Yeah. And it's obviously a political thing.
It
really annoys me, particularly when you had things like, you know, the RPO albums that, you know, charted well in the UK, out here in Australia, but it mm-hmm. from afar it seemed that never did anything in America.
No, it didn't. It did well on the religious chart. I think it went up to a number one on the religious charts, which who really cares?
That's the problem. There's that many different charts. There's a charts for this, and there's a gospel one,
exactly.
and then a country and all these sort of things. But and also, we talked about A Little Less Conversation earlier on. That sold a lot of records, but because it didn't get the plays and the support, it didn't have that chart placing that it really deserved.
Right, correct.
And it's really frustrating.
Yeah, they don't push an Elvis. They don't push an Elvis song anymore. Even what you just said, they didn't push it because they have this thing against Elvis, and I don't understand it.
Well, you go on another subject where you're talking about his record company don't seem to support the releases. I mean, a lot of times people don't know that it's out there. And, you know, I mention things on, you know, even on emails to people. And they don't even know that there's an Elvis in Nashville box set coming out.
Right.
Because they don't promote it. How are you going to promote it or get people to buy it if you don't promote it? It's frustrating. So it'll be interesting to follow when the box set for Nashville is released, because that's in about a month's time, I think. They've had a couple of things out on YouTube, but nothing else. And it's really frustrating when you go into a record store asking to pre-order this new Elvis Presley release, and they look at you like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, is there a new Elvis release? I'd have to look.
Yeah, you know, so. And I'm like, and so I go in there and I give them the catalog number. I want to order this. Here it is. I want the vinyl and I want the box set. You want them both? Aren't they the same? No, they're different.
Oh, yeah, they don't understand that either, I know. I've got that same face many times over the years, so.
Well, buying music is so different these days. I mean, there's a lot of people who download it or buy it online, but I still like going into a record store and putting my pre-order in.
Yeah, I want it in my hands.
Mm. I think Elvis collectors are like that. And actually, there's a request for you there, Joe, that I think will go along the lines of people who want a proper copy. Then Simon Moggy Morgan talks about it.
Yeah, Simon Moggy Morgan says, hey, Grant and Joe, I'd like to play any song from the new FTD. That's the way it is. I'm not a collector, but I really wanted this one as I love this period in Elvis's career. But by the time I saved the money, they were sold out. Please keep doing what you can for Lee. Love the show. You are both doing a great job. Cheers. Moggy.
Thank you very much for that, Moggy, and we'll play a couple of songs for you. And I know they're doing a reprint of the That's the Way It Is box set that's supposed to be out at the end of October. So if anybody still would like to get one, I think there's definitely places you can pre-order it. And having had the set for a little while, it is something else. The books are beautiful and the sound is pretty good as well. So for you, Simon, here's a few songs from the 24th of July, 1970, starting with Tomorrow Never Comes.
Tell me that you love me. Yes, you tell me that you care. That tomorrow we'll be married. But tomorrow's never there. Many weeks now
my hand, oh, but it didn't come to me. Try got to do like my daddy told me. Oh, yeah. But I'm a sailor, wash my hands on Bourbon Street. I wash my hands in muddy water. Wash my hands, oh, but it didn't come. Tried to do, like my daddy told me. But I must have washed my hands in the muddy street. Wash my hands, oh, but it didn't come. Wash my hands.
Some of the tracks from the not long released FTD of That's the Way It Is, the 50th anniversary collector's edition. We featured in there Tomorrow Never Comes for Simon Moggy Morgan, and Chris from Munich asked to hear I Washed My Hands in Muddy Water, so we featured that along with some other great tracks from That's the Way It Is.
Man, hey, I always love the Muddy Water one. How old are you, dude?
I'm 49. I'm just a year older than Lee was. Yeah. So, and his birthday was in May, and so was mine.
God, you're just a baby. I have underwear older than you. So you're in Australia, right?
Yes, I actually live in Victoria, just outside of Melbourne. So the coastline. I'm about maybe 5 km from 5 km from the beach, but I never actually go.
Do you have kangaroo? I'm sorry. Do you have kangaroos around and stuff like that?
Not obviously in the streets, but about 40. Because that's one of the things people ask me: do kangaroos jump up and down the street? But actually, there's a golf course in a place called Anglesey that's about half an hour from me, and they are all over the golf course. They line while you're lining up for your shot. They jump out, steal your golf balls. It's incredible. They just lie everywhere. It is amazing.
I wonder why they do that. I mean, a lot of them have balls anyway.
That's exactly right. Well, they probably want to. You can never have too many, can you?
No, you got to have them. Keep them with you.
Yeah.
You know, so what you got to do.
But, yeah, there's a sign on the road just out from us that says, watch out for koalas. And I've been driving around there for many years, and I've never seen one.
Yeah, I love how they keep saying over there, we got the outback. Well, I got a backyard, so no big deal.
Well, there's places in the outback here you probably wouldn't want to go, because there's most of Australia, obviously, people live on the outside. And it's so hot in some of those areas. I've never been It's funny, I've probably seen more of America than I have my own country. Which is...
Really? I mean, Elvis Week in America, that's a bear. I mean, it gets so hot.
Some of the days I've been there, it's just unbearable. The door to the hotel opens up, and it's like you're just dripping with sweat before you even leave the foyer.
It's true.
And of course, the rain that they have in Memphis is something I've never seen either. The flash rains can just come in and just wipe everything out. It's something to behold. I mean, there was one day I was on the way to the pyramid, and we were getting tickets for one of the concerts. And I looked up and thought, no, we can make it. It's okay. Yeah. 10 seconds later, boom, I got saturated.
Yeah, you have to come to New York one time during the winter and see how much snow we get.
Yeah, actually, I've only seen snow in Memphis, actually. I went over for Elvis's birthday. That's the only time I've ever seen snow.
Oh, buddy, that's not snow. You come to New York. You want to see snow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, it closed Graceland down that day. All the snow was there. But yeah, it was absolutely beautiful to see. But yeah, I can see snow in Australia if I want to, but I'm quite comfortable where I am, actually.
That's what I always thought was funny, because Lee would bring up how had a little snow today. Everybody had to stay home, no school or anything. And it was a dusting. dusting. I mean, we drive through a foot of snow.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, they don't even have snow shovels. Over in the UK. Do you have snow shovels? Does it even snow where you are?
I've never snowed here, no. It gets cold, but no snow.
I didn't think so. But I had to ask. So.
But never, no snow. But I say it's cold and it gets down to like 2 degrees, and yet you guys must go minus 10 sometimes.
Yeah, it's cold, buddy. It's cold.
Quite amazing. All right, well, that's the end of our first hour, Joe. Going so fast again.
It went fast, yeah.
And we're going to close our first hour out with a request for Marty from Dublin. He wanted to hear America the Beautiful. So why don't we hear it from the American Bicentennial Show's FTD from July the 4th, 1976. Join Joe and I after this.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. For purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining seas. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, yeah, and he crowned to shining sea, America.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Elvis Express Radio, the best thing to happen to Elvis fans since Elvis himself.